This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One day away from the NFL draft. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks for listening all over the D.C. area on 106.7. We now welcome in our Richmond audience for the next 3 hours of our show, which goes to 6:30 tonight, AM 910, FM 105.1 in the capital of Virginia. Right now, we go to the BetQL guest hotline. Joining the show, Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books do not want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL apps or visit BetQL.com today. You can hear Baldy's breakdowns for more of his analysis. But let's talk NFL draft with Baldy a day ahead of round one. What's up, Brian? Good to have you back on the show in D.C. How you been?
Grant, Danny, I'm doing great. I'm like everybody else. I'm waiting for Christmas to come tomorrow night, and we can start getting into some of the stuff that we've been speculating about for far too long.
Just want to get your take here, Brian, right off the bat. Not necessarily who you think the best player is, but who's your favorite player in this draft? Always love your perspective.
Landon Dickerson's my favorite player, and it just jumps off the screen. I haven't scouted a player like Landon Dickerson since Quentin Nelson came out of Notre Dame 3 years ago. I know the injury history. He's just my favorite player to watch.
Landon Dickerson is a lineman from Alabama. And for people that don't know, I'm sure you know this story. He was the guy that basically ran his own
built
gym.
He built the Dickerson gym out of his garage?
Like during COVID, he had his own gym with like sanitizing. I mean, you may know the story to tell us, Baldy. It's pretty incredible.
No, I mean, you know, when COVID hit and facilities were getting shut down and school was closed at Alabama, I mean, they had no place to go. So he converted, you know, his own, house into basically his own gym. And he had 40 players over there working out. They got everything done. They took care of it. They cleaned it. Nobody contaged COVID the entire time they were training. He went out to the supermarket, bought all the protein shakes and recovery shakes and had that all going on, had the ice tub. You got to have an ice pool. You got to get your muscles and your bones all frozen up after you work out. He did it all. And that's just the beginning of the type of leadership that he is.
Baldy, so as this round progresses, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you buy that San Francisco doesn't know what they're going to do at three and it's still kind of up for debate and they're kind of having an arm wrestling match behind the scenes?
No, I think that when they made the trade at the end of March that they knew exactly who they wanted.
Who is it?
And they can posture and they can, you know, do all the things that they've done, but they know exactly who they're going to get. And, you know, once Robert Saleh, who's now the head coach of the Giants or the Jets leaving San Francisco, and they realized Zach Wilson was going to be the Jets quarterback, then they knew who they'd choose from. And that's when they made the move. And I don't believe that they ever wavered off who it is that they wanted.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's Mac Jones. It wouldn't be my pick, but I think it's Kyle Shanahan's pick. I think Jed York, John Lynch, basically gave him the keys to go get the guy. They gave up an awful lot of capital to get it. But I believe it's been Mac Jones from the beginning.
How do you see these quarterbacks in the first round?
I think a lot of them have to play more. I mean, Trey Lance, I mean, everybody loves his talent. That's great. It's easy to see. But you know, he was a running quarterback at North Dakota State. He threw over just over a total of 300 passes in his whole college career. You know, and he played one game this year against Central Arkansas, and he was awful. So, you know, maybe you give him a mulligan because of the year that it was, whatever. But he wasn't good. But you know, he's got 1 year of a body of work in that level of competition. I think he needs, you know, he needs the right team to go to in order to flourish. I don't think you can pull a Josh Allen, just plug him and play him right now, and he's going to take his team to the AFC Championship game in a couple years.
Brian Baldinger's with us on Grant and Danny. Baldy, if you were, I'm just going to throw three teams out there. There are probably others. New England, Chicago, Washington, right? In that 15 to 20 range, mm-hmm. still need their quarterback of the future, and Fields and Lance are sliding down to the bottom of the top 10. Would you trade up into the top 10 if you're one of those teams to get one of those guys? Do you like them that much?
I think the Patriots are trying to do that now to try to get into the top 10 to get a guy. I think Chicago's coming from too far back to get to the top, you know, into the top 10. You have to give up a lot. We've seen that already. I think for Washington, I think they've got to, you know, picking at 19. I think they've got to get, you know, past the top 10 for Washington to trade up. I honestly, guys, I love what Washington's doing. And I think more teams should take a look at what they're doing. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be just fine this year. But they're building a beast the right way. They're building it deep and tough the way Ron Rivera has always built teams. William Jackson's going to be a great player on defense for this team with a good pass rush. Just keep building your team. And when it's time's right for the quarterback, if a quarterback would drop this year, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or who knows, Mac Jones, if one of them dropped to, you know, out of the top 10, and if you want to go get a guy and let him learn under Ryan Fitzpatrick the way Tua did in the last year, then go get it. But I like everything that Washington's doing right now.
Well, I want to see if you buy what I'm selling here. I think in maybe 15 years ago, Devontae Smith might be too small. But I think you can't touch anybody. You can't line up guys for kill shots. You can't take, you know, people's heads off over the middle anymore. Smaller receivers can thrive. That guy's electric and outstanding. I think he's a star. Do you buy what I'm selling, that maybe the era makes him maybe a better fit now than he might have been a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't, you know, headhunt these guys and all. You know, he's pretty restricted to line of scrimmage. But he just played 4 years in the SEC.
Yeah.
And he played really without any incident. You know, I mean, you can't hit what you can't touch. And he's just, you know, he's got to jump around the shower just to get wet. But being a one hit, who knows? You know, some of these guys, like, hit pretty hard.
Yeah, they do.
So we'll see, you know, how the ribs hold up and, you know, the shoulder blades hold up and everything when they get contact in the middle of the field.
Brian Baldinger's on G&D. He's got more gigs than Devontae Smith had catches last year. See him on NFL Network, Fox Sports, Compass Media Networks. He is a great analyst and studies all the film. We love having him on as our insider for the NFL for Odyssey. All right, so we got a feel for your top three then if you got Mac Jones going third. If you're the Falcons, are you taking Kyle Pitts? Are you trading back? Are you going QB? What do you like there?
Probably doing all of it, you know, depending on what the best scenario is. But, you know, if they can't trade back and still be in a position to take, you know, a player, and if you don't believe your quarterback is there, the way, let's say, Ryan, you know, Matt Ryan was in 2008 when the owner kind of stepped in and said, we're taking the quarterback, and it was the right choice, then you stay there and you just take, you know, you just take Kyle Pitts and you team up Kyle Pitts with Julio and, you know, all the guys that they have on the outside right now, and go draft yourself a running back and go put up 30 points a game, you know, and let somebody try to stop you right now.
If you're bad, at least you'll be fun and bad. You'll score some points.
I mean, offensively, I mean, if you can outscore teams now, I mean, you can, you know, you can win more than you lose right now.
When does the first defensive player go, and who's it going to be?
We're going to have this debate on the NFL Network. You know, there's never been a draft ever in the modern era since 1967 where a defensive player wasn't taken in the top 10. And there's only been one draft in 1969 when the Steelers took Mean Joe Green with the fourth pick, where only one player has been taken. But my guess is that Patrick Surtain will be the first defensive player taken, and he will be somewhere between, you know, 8 and 10 right now.
All right, let's zero in on 8 for a second. That's the Carolina Panthers. They traded for Sam Darnold. what do you make of Darnold with Matt Rhule as a reclamation project? There is thought that they might still take a quarterback. Your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I think anybody with Matt Rhule is a good combination because he's just that good as a coach. But, you know, he was interviewed for the Jets job 2 years ago when Mike McCagnan was the general manager. He did his homework on Sam Darnold. He watched all his rookie tapes. So he knew Sam from 2 years ago. So, you know, he kind of knows what he's about. But really, you know, David Tepper's the owner, and David Tepper wields an awful lot of power, and money is just a non-factor to him. And so I'm sure that you can sell Sam Darnold to David Tepper, but I don't know. If Justin Fields is available and he feels like he could be the next Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes or something, they may pull the trigger right there and go for a quarterback. And, you know, they haven't optioned they haven't taken the fifth-year option on Sam Darnold yet. They've got till after the draft to do it. So they're really not making a heavy commitment at this point to Sam.
Baldy, a very un-New England-like offseason this year, right, where they were more aggressive than we've seen them in terms of free agency. I don't think that stops when it comes to draft time. I've kind of got them circled as a team that could move one way or the other, just kind of be the sort of the wild card team to watch. Is there another team you've kind of got circled that might be extra active here on the first night?
Well, you know, you've got four teams that have got multiple first-round picks. Now, the Jets, the Dolphins, Jacksonville, they all have a lot of holes to fill. But, you know, Baltimore with the 27th and 31st pick, I mean, we've seen them trade out of the first round. We've seen them trade up in the first round and go get Joe Flacco. I mean, you know, Ozzie Newsome trained Eric DaCosta pretty well. And so that's a team that could be very active if somebody slips, falls, could be a receiver, could be an edge rusher, you know, could be a safety, who knows. I think Baltimore could be very active simply because of what they have right now. And you can never preclude the New Orleans Saints from doing anything, especially if a quarterback is involved. Because, you know, if 4 years ago, if Kansas City didn't get to number 10 the way they did, then they were going to take Patrick Mahomes with the 11th pick.
Baldy, looking for a couple names here. You can go one or two in each category. But a guy who – you're a film junkie. A guy whose film is better than kind of the conversation being had about them right now for whatever reason, and then vice versa. A guy whose film is, when you watch it, just not as good as either where they're going to go or what people think of them for whatever reason.
I don't get Penei Sewell. I don't get the fascination that people think he's Jonathan Ogden or Anthony Munoz or somebody like that. I just don't see it. I mean, he didn't play this year, but when he did play in 2019, pick a game. Pick his first game against Auburn. Pick his last game against Wisconsin. I think he was very good. I don't get, you know, this fascination that he's a generational player or anything close to it. Looks like he's got balance issues to me. I think he could be a good player, but I don't see a great player. I think Carlos Basham at Wake Forest is as good as anybody rushing off the edge in this whole draft. And he did it for basically 5 years at Wake Forest. But he tested really well. He looks like he's got a good motor. You know, I think that guy's going to be a really good pro.
Baldy, how do you evaluate sort of this late in the game character concern stuff that comes up sometimes with prospects, right? This is silly season. Everybody's lying for somebody's benefit, right? Whether it's a team wants someone to slide, whether it's an agent that wants someone to move up, whatever it is, it's always so hard to discern what's true and what's not. How do you evaluate it?
Well, I mean, I like to tape to do my evaluation. You know, I mean, nothing was worse than what they did to Laramie Tunsil, you know, the day of his draft. He's a good kid. Mm-hmm. A good football player. I mean, on Daniel Jeremiah's board, who I respect as much as anybody, he was his number one player that year, and he dropped to the 13th pick for the Dolphins. But, like, that's unfortunate when that kind of, you know, when it gets personal like that between a school and a player. You know, what they did to Lyle Collins, you know, the day before the draft, and, you know, he went from being basically a first-round pick to a free agent. Like, that's just character assassination, and that's not right, and that bothers me. So I try not to pay attention to it. You can call the trainers and the equipment managers, and you can find out pretty much what a lot of these guys are like. I don't think you have to assassinate anybody publicly, you know, to gain an advantage. It's not fair to the kids. They spend a lot of their career trying to overcome that stuff, and I would never do it. I would never take part in it. I try to let my film study do the talking for me.
At Baldy NFL, you want to check him out and some of his breakdowns on Twitter. Brian, what about Washington at 19? You referenced that you like their offseason. You got into some of the things that you dig that they're doing. How about that pick there? Is there a fit you like?
Well, you know, I think this, you know, this trade yesterday for Eric Flowers was really a great trade. You know, I mean, he played well in Washington to begin with, but you put him in Brandon Scherff, you know, at guards, that's a pretty good tandem. I could see them being interested in an offensive lineman, Christian Darrisaw, Oliver Tuck. I could see some guys that they'd be interested in, although I thought Cornelius Lucas played well last year. So I don't have to go out there, but you lose, you know, you lose a guy, you know, really a great player like Ryan Kerrigan. You'd kind of like say, okay, if, I don't know, if Quiddy Pay, the edge rushers are, and they're really kind of uncertain in this draft, but that guy is twitchy and powerful. I mean, if Quiddy Pay was there, would you just want to keep restocking this defensive line and just keep building a team that might become the best defense in football, not just for a year, but for a number of years, the way Seattle did for 5 years in a row? Like, that would make a lot of sense, too.
What's the weakest position group, in your opinion, in this draft?
I think it's defensive tackle is the weakest I can ever remember. We don't even talk about defensive tackles in this draft. You know, Christian Barmore, whatever. I mean, they don't even get mentioned. Last year we had two in the top, you know, in the top 10 picks. So it's the weakest position it's been. And then the edge rushers. And it is the second weakest outside of safeties, but that's always a position of weakness. It's just hard to find guys that could cover, hit, you know, play in the alley, all that stuff. But, you know, the winners in free agency were the edge rushers around the league. And they knew that, you know, by the time you got to the draft, there weren't going to be guys like Myles Garrett coming off the edge that you could go, or, you know, Chase Young or Montez Sweat. They didn't have those kind of guys in this draft. So they got them in free agency, and there was a big carousel of those players that traded teams. But, you know, defensive line is not as strong as it's been in past years.
All right, Baldy, let me crowbar one more in. This is a guy I love that Washington could take at 19, and I want to see if he gets the Baldy seal of approval or if you've got some questions on him. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame.
There's nothing a lot to like about him. It's just a question of how you want to play him. You know, I mean, is he a dime linebacker? Is he a, you know, third safety? Is he off the ball inside linebacker? You know, they had a, you know, I mean, because he is undersized, but he is, you know, he strikes like a cobra. He's all over the field. His talent is, you know, my mom could scout his talent. You know, I mean, he's a blur. I think he's going to be a vacuum cleaner in the NFL, just cleaning up tackles every Sunday.
Was your mom a good talent evaluator, Baldy?
Yeah. Yeah, she can. She's 88, and she reminded me of that yesterday because I said she was 89. But she can spot talent. I mean, she knew Terry Bradshaw was going to be a great player. She was pulling for Ben Roethlisberger. She's from Pittsburgh. But, I mean, she knew Ben Roethlisberger was a Hall of Fame player coming out of Miami, Ohio. Like, she has an eye for it.
That's great.
That's where you got it from, bro.
Yeah, well, I mean, she raised three boys playing in the NFL. Like, she had a fetus, you know, for the first 20 years of our lives. So she had an idea about what was at the kitchen table every day.
That's great. Baldy, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate it, man. Enjoy tomorrow night.
My pleasure, guys. Yep.
Take care. There's Brian Baldinger. Nobody better. Love having him on. Grant and Danny. And big fan of his film breakdowns and all the work he does. Odyssey's Insider. And we appreciate them making him available for us, Danny. But what'd you make of some of the breakdown there of who they could get and what they could do at 19?
He's kind of more bullish on some of the defensive players than I've heard. The draft has been a focus on offense. These kind of defensive guys, the Quiddy Pays of the world, have gotten zero acclaim, right? It's not like one of those Myles Garrett, Bradley Chubb, Chase Young defensive end. Top of the draft, everyone's so excited, generational pass rusher. He's maybe the best defensive end in this class, but so what, right? But he was, Baldy's basically saying, hey, take a look at this here. Patrick Surtain, first defensive player off the board. I think that's the odds-on favorite, according to the odds that I have seen from, as Chris Russell says, the boys in Vegas. But, interesting breakdowns there in terms of the defensive guys that jumped out at me.
That call, all of our insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us make the better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app, or visit BetQL.com today. He was very high on Washington's offseason and the fact that it doesn't seem like, you know, they're going to be overzealous and moving up. Let's discuss that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns,
including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Honestly, guys, I love what Washington's doing. And I think more teams should take a look at what they're doing. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be just fine this year. But they're building a beast the right way. They're building it deep and tough the way Ron Rivera has always built teams. William Jackson's going to be a great player on defense for this team with a good pass rush. Just keep building your team. And when it's time's right for the quarterback, if a quarterback would drop this year, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or who knows, Mac Jones. If one of them dropped to, you know, out of the top 10, and if you want to go get a guy and let him learn under Ryan Fitzpatrick the way Tua did in the last year, then go get it. But I like everything that Washington's doing right now.
Count Brian Baldinger in on Team Washington Football Team. That doesn't sound right.
Team.
God, that sounded awful. You know what?
Change the name immediately.
I just changed my mind. You can't possibly keep Washington Football Team any longer. That sounded so terrible.
I'm on Team Washington Football Team.
God, that sounded bad.
Take me away.
Darius, turn this music off real quick. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back from a break again. So I need you to play the voice guy who says Grant and Danny or something. And then I need music so I can not sound as awful. And I don't want to take blame for that, for the record. I just said their team name and then team right after.
I know what you did. You did nothing wrong. That's the point. It puts people in awkward spots. You start a sentence, you got no idea how to get out of it.
Should we play the Baldy cut as well?
Do you
think we need to?
Yeah, because somebody's just tuning in right now.
Let's just start the whole segment again.
Go.
If you heard that already.
No, you didn't hear it.
Pretend like you didn't. This is the audio version of when Will Smith and Men in Black would take that little thing. I'm going to make a sound. When I make the sound, you weren't here before.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that anything happened. And that sound is like the little...
Neuralizer.
Neuralizer. Wow, what a word.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Is it deneuralizer?
Here's the sound. Ready? This is the sound to make sure everyone forgets.
Honestly, guys, I love what Washington's doing. And I think more teams should take a look at what they're doing. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be just fine this year. But they're building a beast the right way. They're building it deep and tough. The way Ron Rivera has always built teams, William Jackson's going to be a great player on defense for this team with a good pass rush. Just keep building your team. And when it's time's right for the quarterback, if a quarterback would drop this year, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or who knows, Mac Jones, if one of them dropped to, you know, out of the top 10, and if you want to go get a guy and let him learn under Ryan Fitzpatrick the way Tua did in the last year, then go get it. But I like everything that Washington's doing right now.
How about Baldy? Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. He seems like a big proponent of what the Washington Football Team has done so far this offseason.
You grows up.
I'm not taking the blame for that.
You shouldn't.
Change your team name.
Change the name.
All right, so Baldy likes what the team is doing, and I like what the team is doing. A lot of people like what the team is doing. What he said there was interesting, though, because he said, don't go crazy. Don't go get your quarterback at number 4 or number 5. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to be fine for a year. Let the draft come to you. If everyone else is doing things and all of a sudden Trey Lance is there at 13, you want to go get him? Go get him. Justin Fields falls lower than he's supposed to. It's pick 14. New England's on the clock at 15. They're going to take him. You can trade ahead of New England. You think Fields is worth taking right around that Dwayne Haskins area? Then do that. But I'm with him. I think they have done so well in free agency. And then the Flowers deal as well. Address yet another need, another position where you've upgraded the interior offensive line yesterday. That they've really made it easy for themselves, in my opinion, to go best player on the board and to draft not really having to address things. You'd like to get better at linebacker. You'd like to get better at left tackle. But if they don't solve any one issue in this draft, it's okay. They've had a good enough offseason that you feel pretty good going into training camp, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what the stated goal is, right? If the goal is to be great next year, you're not going to be. Is it to take a steady bit of progress forward? Yeah. But this is a league that doesn't really allow for slow and steady builds really to take place. This isn't baseball where you get 6 years of rookie control, right? I mean, we're picking up fifth-year options for Daron Payne already. There's a limited window where you got this group together where, you know, you've got, you know, you can afford $18 million for a right guard who's on his way out of here. He's your Pro Bowl player, all pro caliber player. So I understand the point. You know, you don't want to go crazy and overspend and ruin everything. But at the same time, this idea that, well, just keep building it slowly. It's like there's this unlimited amount of time in a league that is the most turnover prone league possible, that you just have this sort of endless window to kind of keep building slowly. And to me, you're not really building towards anything if you're doing that. If you don't have the quarterback, you're just a hamster on the wheel. You'll be fine next year. It could be fine. But that's not my goal. But I understand his point. It's a good one.
If Washington stays at 19, what happens? We asked Baldy that. Here's what he had to say just a few moments ago.
Honestly, guys, I love what Washington's doing. And I think more teams should take a look at what they're doing.
I think that's the same one.
Well,
we've only played it twice in this segment, in fairness, Darius. So a third one, that's going to really drive the point home. I think what Darius wanted everyone to know was that he really likes what Washington's doing.
He likes
But this is what Baldy thinks about pick 19, and he started answering by talking about the Flowers deal, giving them even more options because they loved Vera Tucker, supposedly. Now you don't have to take Vera Tucker.
Well, you know, I think this, you know, this trade yesterday for Eric Flowers was really a great trade. You know, I mean, he played well in Washington to begin with, but you put him in Brandon Scherff, you know, at guards, that's a pretty good tandem. I could see them being interested in an offensive lineman, Christian Darrisaw, Oliver Tuck. I could see some guys that they'd be interested in, although I thought Cornelius Lucas played well last year. So I don't have to go out there, but you lose a guy, a great player like Ryan Kerrigan. You'd kind of like say, okay, if Quiddy Pay, the edge rushers are, and they're really kind of uncertain in this draft, but that guy is twitchy and powerful. I mean, if Quiddy Pay was there, would you just want to keep restocking this defensive line and just keep building a team that might become the best defense in football, not just for a year, but for a number of years, the way Seattle did for 5 years in a row? Like, that would make a lot of sense, too.
I have not heard one person in the entire pre-draft process have Washington taken an edge rusher in the first round.
Nor I.
Quiddy Pay, for people that don't know, is a former Rhode Island Gatorade Player of the Year in high school back in 16. He played on offense. He played on both sides of the ball. But it's a crazy story. His mom's name's Agnes, fled Liberia due to the Civil War and gave birth to Quiddy in Guinea before coming to the United States. And his brother, I think his name's Komate, played defensive back at New Mexico State. Like, unbelievable athletes. I'm rooting like heck for that guy. I want him to be great in the NFL. I don't see how it's a fit for Washington. I get your point is Kerrigan's gone. You now have three edge rushers.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think you can draft one in the first round in the top 20 when you've already got Sweat, who you drafted in the first round 2 years ago, and Young, who you drafted in the first round last year. But remember that if Kerrigan doesn't come back, he's still a free agent, but he's not supposed to come back. Ryan Anderson's gone too.
Yeah.
They don't have depth at that position.
No, they do not.
They've got two pass rushers. Chase Young missed time last year and played hurt for a couple weeks after he came back. Sweat's been pretty durable, but it takes getting rolled up on. And now do you have enough pass rush off the edge?
Yeah.
I've never thought about this. In passing, I go, you can't take an edge rusher. Why not? Why couldn't you take Quiddy Pay from Michigan or one of these edges and then have a third guy now to go along with those other two at a position, by the way, even though they stay on the field a lot, that's a rotational position, Danny. Those guys come off the field and get breathers.
No, 100%. So it to me would be if you're a little bit further along, a really savvy, smart pick, right? Because you're looking at Jonathan Allen in a free agent year. Again, you're a year removed from Daron Payne facing this. Matt Ioannidis is signed through 22. And you're going, we need to keep layering this. We're built around our defensive lines. We're a, you know, a Montez Sweat and Chase Young production here. This is part of our core going forward. We can keep layering that. You hate to draft too much for need, right? Because that always can get you into trouble where you end up, you know, overdrafting somebody or, you know, you end up desperate and it's not the smartest thing to do. I think if they were further along, that would be a really savvy pick. But I just don't buy that they're far enough along, especially on offense, to be able to get that done, or linebacker, or maybe in their secondary as well. But it's not the craziest thing in the world. Remember, I keep pointing to this. I know I wasn't a Dachshund fan, but they did that when they had, you know, a pretty good receiving core because they're layering for the future. They're building for the next guy because you know that these things don't last forever.
I'm looking at the depth chart behind Chase Young and Montez Sweat right now. James Smith Williams, who was a 7th-round pick out of NC State last year, is kind of the third guy.
Mm-hmm.
David Bada is the 4th guy. And then you got names like Jalen Jelks. That's it. They do not have a proven defensive end other than Young and Sweat on the roster. So I actually would say, looking at that depth chart, that you're going to have to sign someone before the start of the year. I think you can do that. If a guy like Ryan Kerrigan is out there in free agency still, without having looked too deep into the position, I'll bet you there is some Pernell McPhee-type player.
There's a 6-sack pass rusher out there.
6 is aggressive.
Well, you know what I mean? If you played every down, he would
get
6.
Okay, so for this team, like 2.5 or 3.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right about that. But I don't hate that idea. I want to hate the idea. If they took an edge rusher at 19, 1 to 10 scale, 10 you love it, 1 you hate it, where would you be on that?
3.
So you would really not like it?
No.
I think I'm 6.
I wouldn't be angry.
I'm not any more upset about that than I would be if they took almost anything else, I don't think. Because they're not set there. And I just think that's such an important position. If Chase Young misses a month, do you have enough pass rush next year? Yes or no? You don't.
Mm-mm.
If you drafted a guy in the first round who can get to the quarterback, you might be okay. I'd be cool with that. Have not heard people talk about that, though. Maybe it's something you can do in the second or the third round.
Yeah, and there's some, you know, just north of 30 veterans. There's a lot of Melvin Ingram, Ryan Kerrigan kind of guys, the KJ Wrights of the world, I think. I don't think he's signed.
That makes the most sense to me, would be to grab one of those edges.
But to allocate a first-round pick to me, I would cringe at that. Because here's the thing. If that happened, it means that anybody that I would really want probably went somehow. You know what I mean? It would, like, no receivers fell. Somehow, you know, there wasn't a run on cornerbacks, and I'm not that excited about Farley or somebody else going there at 19. So they went, well, this is the best guy we got on our board, so we'll go with this defensive end. I'd go, cool, I guess. I wouldn't hate it. Like, I'd hate running back, but I wouldn't love it.
And it's definitely a little bit more of a need than people want to acknowledge, though. Who are the veterans you said that could come off the edge?
I just quickly looked up some free agents. Melvin Ingram, I think, hasn't signed. Kerrigan.
Ingram is good.
All these guys' primes are in the rearview mirror. There's no question about that.
Yeah,
but
Ingram's 32 years old. He's basically Kerrigan's draft class, I think, a year after Kerrigan.
Like Alex Okafor, Bruce Irvin, I think.
Okafor is more of just a linebacker.
Yeah, KJ Wright.
KJ linebacker. Wright's just a linebacker.
Yeah, OLBs.
So those guys aren't coming off the edge. Yeah. They need another one, however they get it. And so I would say that if they take one at 19, don't be furious. I don't think they will, but it was interesting to hear Baldy say that.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. What a show we got lined up today. John Carlson 1 hour from now on another huge win over the Islanders last night at 4:40. The Caps are rolling. Hopefully they get Alex Ovechkin back as they play the Penguins tomorrow. Charlie Campbell breaks down the draft with us at 5:40 tonight from Walter Football. Next, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our Beltway Blitz is just 15 minutes away at 4 o'clock. Get you the latest out of the locker rooms of the teams you care the most about in town, and there's so much going on. Washington Football Team in the draft bunker for tomorrow. Caps just beat the Islanders. Again, that's what they do. They play the Isles. They beat the Isles. Getting ready for the Penguins. Wizards, winners of 8 of their last 9, have the Lakers in town tonight.
Yeah.
National TV.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Remember that?
They do not get to play on Natty TV anymore. That's going to change starting next season if Westbrook and Beal can finish the season strong and get them to the playoffs. And, of course, the Nats trying to get a win and split a two-game miniseries with the Blue Jays in Dunedin, Florida. Max struggled last night, and they dropped a third straight. But let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Sponsored by Mattress Warehouse. Free next day delivery. Setup available on all orders over $7.99 and a one-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com. I got two things. First, the SNL cast is upset that Elon Musk is going to host the show on May 8th. Apparently, they're bothered. They're upset about this. Elon Musk has been named the host of Saturday Night Live on May 8th. A little backlash. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Elon Musk's general takes, why people would like or not like him, but he is the CEO, obviously, of Tesla, and he's one of the richest business people on the planet. My first thought on this is that show is completely irrelevant. Nobody watches Saturday Night Live anymore. They should have people host it that get people to talk about Saturday Night Live. And my assumption would be that if Elon Musk hosted Saturday Night Live, people might talk about it. I think there's some frustration, A, that it's a business person and not like an actor or a singer or something. Maybe some of his takes, and I don't know what they are, bother people or annoy people. But I don't have time for the cast members of a show that was great 25 years ago who are currently living off of how funny that show was 20 years ago, doing a mostly irrelevant show now to complain because someone's coming in to host. They're basically now, I think, throwing things against the wall. Like, all right, how do we get people to watch?
Sure, yeah.
Elon Musk. Like, well, I saw someone write a big thing about how it should be an actor or a singer. Were we okay when Peyton Manning or LeBron hosted? Now it's Elon Musk. It's just a celebrity.
Yeah, Charles Barkley did it. It was good.
Isn't that the thing? If you're a celebrity, if you move the needle, you can host?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, it's... There's a lot that there's plenty of ways to take this. I will say that I agree with everything you said, first of all. Second of all, I can't believe this is a thing. I can't believe people are upset. I can't believe the cast members are upset. Everyone's upset about everything in the public all the time. Everything is problematic or everything is, you know, we need to talk about. There's a column that says that we have to talk about it. I could also not talk about it. I could mind my business and go to work and go home and eat dinner. But whatever. I have a hard time getting over the idea that where did you see that, if you mind my asking, that the cast is like
so
legit upset?
I've got a couple here.
Is it like a rumor or is it like someone's voicing their opinion going, I don't want him
Bowen
there?
Bowen Yang came out. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he's funny.
Okay, I've never heard of that person. So they like retweeted a comment from Elon Musk and basically said, what the bleep does this even mean? And I guess showing their frustration. Another guy named Andrew Dismukes. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't know that one.
Okay, well, he's a cast member.
He's a featured player, I think.
He said, only CEO I want to do a sketch with is Sherry O'Terry. Just, you know, a bunch of people like giving little opinions and comments on social media that are on the cast that seem to not be putting over the fact that Elon Musk is doing it.
So I wonder if it's like COVID-19 related, because I think he was in some, I'm just trying to rack my brain as to why people would be upset. I think some people accused him of spreading misinformation at one point. Others.
Possible.
You know, I mean, he's donated money to political campaigns before. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't think the right thing that he's supposed to think right now.
Your political affiliation to not disqualify you from
that. I don't know, man.
Just as a general rule. Moving forward. All right, here's another thing I'll give you. A flight got canceled after a man arrested for throwing 6 coins into a plane engine for good luck.
Oh, good heavens.
This is brutal.
You psychopath.
Can you imagine?
No.
I would have tackled this guy so hard. I mean, just arrest me. But I'm driving this dude into the ground like LeVar Arrington and Troy Aikman on the sideline. I'm driving him through a seat. We're going to break something. My weight and his weight, we will break something. China's Gulf Airlines canceled a flight. This is from Newsweek. After a male passenger threw a handful of coins
into the
engine of a plane for good luck. In a statement shared to popular Chinese microblogging website, the airline said that airport staffers noticed coins on the floor under the engine in an inspection before takeoff. The man, identified by his surname in this post, admitted that he threw a handful of coins toward the plane. Mm. According to Times Now Digital, he was then arrested by police.
Please arrest
him.
He
did get arrested.
I would yell loudly, continuously. I don't know that I would tackle the person. I would just say, he threw something at the engine. I would keep yelling that until somebody came and helped me. And I was able to address my concern. I would keep pointing at the guy. I tell you what I would do. One arm pointed at the guy. The other hand waving wildly in the air frantically for someone to pay attention to me. Help. I would keep yelling, he threw something in the engine. He threw something in the engine until an adult came. that's what I would do.
That's a great idea. I would tackle him. I would just tackle him and ask questions later. Don't throw things in the engine.
We agree there.
Of the plane that I'm about to take off
but
on.
But good for you for taking like real action. I would just like raise an alarm and then probably not do anything because I'm like, what if he didn't like me? But you took the matter in your own hands and did the right thing there.
I am going to be Darius Leonard. Ooh. He is going to be an unsuspecting tight end coming across the middle. Authorities were able to recover all six coins, which the man had wrapped in red paper for luck. But the airline decided to cancel the flight in the Chinese provinces of Shandong and Hainan, maybe, to ensure passenger safety.
First of all, good for them. Giant jackass ruined everyone's day.
Nearly 150 passengers escorted off the flight. This goes back to the thing you and I have talked about recently, which is, please, understand and have some shame when it comes to ruining other people's times.
Where's the shame?
It's not all about you. Have a little bit of shame. A couple people are upset at me and telling me that SNL is still funny. Okay. I've watched it a handful of times. I disagree with you. So we'll disagree on this one. Show me, how many times do I need to watch the skit about hockey? With, was it Chance the Rapper?
Chance the Rapper.
That wasn't funny. Sorry. I said it. I said it wasn't funny. Is everything going to be okay?
Yeah, I think we're fine.
That wasn't that funny.
We're all fine.
Danny, you probably thought it was a barrel of laughs, didn't you?
I actually laughed at that one. I liked that. I thought it was a good sketch. But the general point doesn't change.
Is Kenan Thompson from Kenan and Kel and the Mighty Ducks still the main guy?
Very much.
Okay, then it is not funny.
Different outfits for each.
Here's what you need to know. Let me do this. If Kenan Thompson is still the main guy, then it's not funny.
So they've got really funny people on the show.
I'll tell you who's hilarious is Michael Che.
Michael Che
is hilarious. He gets buried with Scarlett Johansson's husband, and they do like 3 minutes every week.
Mm-hmm. They do Weekend Update.
Do that for an hour. I'll watch that. Everything else, with Kenan Thompson, impressions, no thank you.
Because he does the same character, but in just slightly different outfits. Right? And it's just sort of the same deal.
He was terrible on All That when I was a kid. It was the same thing, but for kids, and he ruined it. And so they said, hey, Grant, you're an adult now. What show do you want him to ruin for you now? And someone said,
SNL,
why
cool.
not the adult version of it? And he's like 5 years older than me, and he's just ruined skit shows since I was three.
Melissa Villaseñor is incredible, and they basically don't use her. She's like, it's like having the best closer in the game, and you just never, ever decide to pitch her in meaningful situations. Kyle Mooney's the most unfunny zilch ever, and he's in everything. I don't get it.
Give me your last name. I want to Google him, because I'll probably recognize him.
Mooney. Kyle, and the last name is M-O-O-N-E-Y.
Okay, I don't know.
It's like,
I'm looking at him.
Guys, it's awkward, but it's for an hour.
But this is why. First of all, I don't know a single person who watches SNL every week. That's not true. My buddy Balsh in L.A. that I always tell you about, he loves SNL.
Balsh is all about it.
He records it every week, which, can you imagine?
He's DVR in SNL?
Absolutely. He's the one. But this is how you I know you don't get to complain about who's hosting the show. I don't know anyone on that show. That show is so insignificant that you could just line up people and I'd be like, I've seen that guy somewhere. Does he work at Home Depot across the... No, SNL. That guy's on SNL. You don't get to complain about who your star that night. You just don't anymore. There's a threshold.
Well, even if it was the most important show on television, which maybe at one time it was, I still need people not to complain. I'm like, I understand if it was like a dictator. I understand if you got like a world leader that committed atrocities against people. I just, what are we actually complaining about? I don't know, man. Just weird to me.
Ed says he likes SNL, but he likes our show more. So he has great taste in shows.
Good taste in shows, Ed.
He says he's a lifer. What are you doing? You're a lifer? He said the show's cast right now is absolutely great.
They have a couple really, I keep saying they have funny people. Chloe Fineman's hilarious. Melissa Villasenor is hilarious. They barely use, why am I blanking on her name?
Melissa Villasenor, you've said that a lot.
Cicely Strong, who's really funny.
But what do you think about Melissa Villasenor?
Well, I'm saying she's funny. They don't use their funny people. They use the unfunny people constantly in your face.
I'll tell you what SNL should do.
Huh?
They should use Melissa Villasenor some more.
All right, now you're joning. It's fine to joan on me. I'd rather joan on the cast for whining about their guest.
This isn't about you.
Fine. Make fun of me.
No, this isn't about you.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
And I'm not even joning about
it's
you.
It's just fine.
But there is a girl on there named Melissa Villasenor, and they don't use her enough.
It's fine.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I think it's fine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.